created us. Lord, our lips praise you this morning. Our hearts and our lives, we seek to honor you. Lord Jesus, we come before you on this Valentine's Day, this day that speaks of relationship and love and intimacy in that relationship. We pray, Lord, this morning that our relationship with you would be all that it ought to be. As we come before you in way of celebrating communion today, we're focused upon you and your word and your Spirit's work in our hearts and our lives. Lord, as we have praised you this morning, would you be so honored to come and dwell within our hearts as we have sung that? Lord, we are still before you. We ask and we abide upon you and in you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd have you just flip over the page. Our bulletins are a little different this morning. They are pink in way of celebrating Valentine's Day. Sorry, guys. Pink, close to red, but pink this morning. So also in reflection of New Year's, right? Red for New Year's, Chinese New Year's. We're still celebrating Chinese New Year's. I'd have you flip the page and take a look at the sermon outline as you follow along with me this morning in looking at God's Word. And if you have a Bible with you, I'd encourage you to turn to Psalm 63 this morning, as that is our text that we'll be looking at and studying. Would you again bow your heads with me and ask God's involvement in this word that is to be spoken to our hearts this morning? God, we ask that you would take this word, this holy word, this Psalm 63, and again, give us that longing and thirst after you. We know in this world there's so much to long and thirst after. The world holds up many trinkets for us. But Lord, we cast those all aside. And we see you as our greatest treasure this morning. We seek and we long after you. Come and fill us. Unite our hearts with yours this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've entitled the message this morning, Clinging to God. And we've been tracking with this Psalm 63 for this being our third Sunday. We've been nursing it, trying to soak in this beautiful Psalm of David's. And as we look at this psalm again, we're reminded in verse 1 and 2 that God would have us to long after him and search for him as in a dry and parched land. And then that this sanctuary in which David is seated, perhaps in the desert or perhaps indeed in the tabernacle, he's looking to worship God with all that he is, and he's seen the power of God displayed in so many ways in his life. And he wonders at God's glory. And he says in verse 3 that God's love is better, much better than life. And he says, my lips will glorify you. Verse 4, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands in worship. I'll be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods, and with singing lips, my mouth will praise you. We've done that this morning here. On my bed, I remember you, and I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in Him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Have you ever been under a clear night sky? A little hard in Vancouver area, but if you have the opportunity, I love to look up in the sky and see all the array of the stars that twinkle in the sky. I remember a time when I was in high school, when I was out on a wintry night in January, and looking up into the heavens, once I laid down in the cold snow, I was up in northern Alberta near Edmonton area, a place called Fort Saskatchewan. I laid back in the snow and I just looked up in the heavens, and there before me were just all these millions, billions, trillions of stars. And I felt so small and so insignificant. I was feeling pretty low on that particular night. I'd been overwhelmed by my studies in high school. I'd also been overwhelmed because my parents were struggling in their marriage relationship. I felt that I didn't really have anyone to turn to. We had moved recently from Cold Lake, Alberta, to Innisfail, Alberta, where we'd spent a year, and then up to Fort Saskatchewan, Alberta. Three quick moves. We had moved because my dad was in the military, and usually it was every 4 years, but this was rather even more than that. It was really quick, just 1 year in Innisfail because of some of the struggles my parents had been going through. I remember that summer I had been awarded a scholarship with the Air Cadets, a senior leaders course, and so I had gone up to Cold Lake, Alberta, once again. And when I went up, they said, your hair is too long, and they shaved my head. That was one of the first things that was so necessary in military training, was a very, very short haircut. And I can remember when, after my air cadet training, I had gone back to a place called Fort Saskatchewan, which is actually in Alberta. I'm not sure how that works, but Fort Saskatchewan, it's by the North Fort Saskatchewan River, or Saskatchewan River. And so this picture isn't of me, but it's a picture off the internet that I clipped, but very similar sense in which I had on that evening and laying in the snow, looking at the stars, feeling very lost because of my situation. With shaved hair, it was the 70s, folks. Long hair was in. Bell-bottom jeans, platform boots. I felt like a Class A nerd when I had just arrived on the scene. And so there I was in grade 11, feeling very out of it because of my short hair and total lack of fashion. And to top it off, I felt like nobody was there. I had no close friends. I had just moved there. I was wondering what God was doing in my life, and I felt so lost. Psalm 63 draws us in when we come to those places in our lives of crisis, times in our lives when we feel desperate to know what is life all about, what's the meaning and purpose to life. David gives us this purpose in Psalm 63. We look at the first point I have for you is in feasting on God. In verse 5 here, it says, I will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. David in this psalm reminds himself of his priorities being in God. He treats God as a four-course meal, sitting down, enjoying God. Seems a little sacrilegious almost that you would dine on God, but here it is. David is saying, I'm enjoying God so much, he's like the richest of foods. Here we've just come off Chinese New Year, and perhaps most of you have enjoyed some nice Chinese food and displayed before you, I'm sure, and enjoyed it with great relish. David says, in like fashion, we should enjoy God in such a fashion. Psalm 34, verse 8, David, and not just using this metaphor in this psalm, but also in Psalm 34, says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him." This morning is our communion morning, where we take the opportunity to celebrate God's blessing and anointing on our lives in our belief that He has died upon a cross for our sins. And we celebrate that through indeed dining upon God. John 6, verse 33 through 35, "For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The theme of this psalm is really sufficiency and confidence in what God has provided in Himself for us. As we look to the New Testament, we're overwhelmed even more so in what God has provided for us in Jesus Christ. Yet I dare say, to be a little obtuse this morning, that sometimes we don't take our satisfaction so much in God. We take our satisfaction in so many other things in this world. In coming to Him, the psalm talks about longing and thirsting and desiring after Him. Since I believe that our world is so full of junk food out there, we often spoil our meal before we come to God, don't we? We indulge in those other snacks before dinner, before the meal. And then we're not so satisfied when we come to the meal. I remember my mother saying, "You know, no snacking before dinner time. It'll spoil your dinner." And so, of course, I would maybe sneak this or sneak that. And yeah, I would enjoy the dinner all the same. But I think I would have enjoyed it even more if I came hungry to the meal, thirsting after what is displayed before us. I think oftentimes we slacken our thirst and dull our hunger and mute God in our indulgences in the world. God wants us to be hungry at His table so that we can fully, fully enjoy Him. Perhaps this might be the reason why we don't have as much of an appetite when it comes to worshiping God. We've been binge eating on the world's empty calories. We've been sneaking out of the cookie jar before the meal. David's response is immediate in finding God. He is hungry. He praises God. He sings to God. He worships God. Secondly, the nighttime musings of verse 6. It says there, "On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night." David's hunger and thirst and sleeplessness drives him deeper into God. All those feelings of emptiness and lack and need in his life drives him to God. He drinks, eats, and muses upon God. He thinks, sings, and clings to God. He focuses, aiming, centering, zeroing, riveting himself to God. Folks, one of the enemy's biggest weapons against us in this age, in this generation, is the weapon of distraction. It's not that he takes Christians out, but that he so distracts us from him, from God. He throws us off our groove, yells to us and says to us and whispers in our ear, Hey, what's that over there? Squirrel! You know, and so we're throwing off. We're looking in other directions. What's that? Oh, wow, look at that. Instead of, look at that. Look at the beauty of God. Distractions have us seeing God as but a faint echo in our Sunday morning worship. David's default was always God. He didn't count sheep when he could count the great shepherd of his faith and his trust. On his bed, when his sleep evaded him, he hit the God default button in his life. When we have time, where do we go? What do we muse upon? Our minds matter to God. God calls us to reason with him in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. And then, of course, God calls us to be conformed, not in terms of the worldly thinking out there, but according to his word. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9 says to us, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Folks, we need to be thinking and rationalizing and looking towards God in all of the things that we involve ourselves in. And especially when we're in those places of greatest need, places of hungerfulness. Is that a word, hungerfulness? Sleeplessness. Longing after God. We need to continually have that in our lives. Lastly, this morning, wings and right hands, singing and clinging. In troubled times, David sees himself in the shadow of his wings. Being urban dwellers, perhaps not many of us have had the opportunity to have chickens. But chickens are a unique animal and were part of the culture of that day. And so we're commonly seen everywhere. So we keep them off in barns and stuff, and we don't much see them until someone puts them on the dinner plate. And we say, oh, wonderful to have chicken again tonight. That's great. But in that day, in David's day, they were ubiquitous. They were everywhere. And so everybody knew that when there was danger, the chicks would run to the mother hen, and the mother hen would spread its wings out to protect those little chicks, and those chicks would run underneath the mother's hen's wings and therein be protected. David is saying, God, you are my protection, just like the mother hen. You protect me. You guard me. You keep me safe. David's imagery here is very common in the Psalms. Psalm 57, verse 1, he says, have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Psalm 61, verse 4 says, I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Jesus, looking down on Jerusalem before entering the city in which he was to be crucified, use the same metaphor in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. The place under God's wings is a place of protection and safety impending disaster. And David says that he sings there underneath those wings of God's. He sings not in self-confidence, but rather in humble dependence upon God. Singing has long been the strength of the church because those choruses are like well-worn grooves in our minds. And it doesn't take much work to think and to sing those songs because they are so familiar to us. And so it's quite easy for us, our minds, to flip into those grooves in our minds of those songs and to praise God and to worship God in those times of crisis. We see Paul and Silas singing praises to God in the prison cell after they've been beaten and put into chains. Why? I think, again, because those grooves of those songs were so much a part of their hearts and their identity and their relationship with God. They're not joying in the suffering per se, but more so in the great God that they worshiped and adored. Here also we see that David says, "I cling to you," in verse 8. "Your right hand upholds me." This clinging is a place of time in our hearts and our lives when our minds could be fogged and hurting with pain, tears, shock, terror, maybe even a place that we can't even find an ability to sing because we're so much in agony or in pain or suffering. Our minds are clouded, yet the one thing that we can do is to cling, to hold on to. The Hebrew use of this word is found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, and it says, "A man ought to cleave to his wife." Psalm 137, verse 6, "The tongue cleaves to the roof of the mouth." Ruth chapter 1, verse 14, "Ruth clings to Naomi and will not be dissuaded from following her back to Israel." It means to stay close to someone, showing deep affection and loyalty. This psalm lays down for us the meaning to deal in crisis. It prepares us to know where to go when the going gets tough. The reason growing clouds our hearts and our minds with pain and we feel overwhelmed, we can cling to God. The second phrase here is interesting in way of it saying, "Your right hand upholds me." Right here is the symbol of God's power. The right hand was a place of stature, of significance. In the New Testament, Jesus talks about in the parable of the judgment saying, "The sheep will be at the Father's right hand, and the goats on his left." The right side is a symbol of favor. The right hand of God is a place where Jesus is exalted to. Jesus being at the Father's right hand is a fulfillment of the messianic promise of Psalm 110, verse 1. "The Lord says to my Lord, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.'" David in these verses 6, 7, and 8 has us singing, has us clinging and musing, has us thinking deeply on God. Best still is this clinging is the sense that it's the Father's right hand that clings to us and is under us and supports us. John 10, 28 and 29 says, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Verse 11 is the conclusion of seeing the downfall of the enemies in verses 9 and 10. In this closing verse, David is not trapped or desperate. He rejoices in God. He glories in God. We come to God this morning, remembering the power of His right hand to save us, to save you. He calls us to dine upon Himself. Jesus, the Son, poured out for us. Stare into the stars of heaven. Know the eternal power of our great God. That He is not leaving you alone, but is so overwhelming you with His presence. And as I lay on that ground in that frozen night in January up in Fort Saskatchewan and saw all those stars, after feeling desperately alone and wondering if there was indeed a God in heaven, I felt an overwhelming sense of His presence and an intimacy with God. When we long after God, God meets us in unique ways and reminds us that He is there for us. As we come to the communion table today, we are reminded of that. He is here, present with us. We are not alone. Let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we? Lord Jesus, thank You for this opportunity we take today to acknowledge Your intimacy with each of us, with Your church. You loved Your church, Lord, and stretched out Your arms and died upon a cross that we could live an eternal life, a life in relationship right now, but a glorious hope in the future. Lord Jesus, we come to Your table proclaiming You as our glory. You are the one that fills us, nourishes us, completes us this morning. Thank You for Your great love as we remember Valentine's Day and our greatest love being for You. Amen. Call the ushers down to the front at this time for us to receive of the communion. Would you prepare your hearts? We welcome you, if you're a believer in Christ, to partake of these elements here in this morning. We're encouraged that God is here amongst us. We just ask that you would take, if you believe in what Jesus Christ has done for you, and therein witness that you have received that wonderful gift of salvation. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you kindly refrain and just let the elements pass? These are for those that want to witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and indeed indwelling them. Would you bow your heads with me again as we take of these elements? Lord Jesus, we take of this bread, we take of this cup this morning, witnessing to Your great salvation work within our lives. We thank You for Your work and proclaim that indeed You are Lord, that You indeed are King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as you take these elements, I ask you to hold on to them. Don't partake immediately until all have received, and then we'll be partaking together. Let's all stand together, shall we? Jesus took the bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you." Let's partake together. Thank you, Jesus, for this reminder of your great work in our hearts and our lives. Amen. Please be seated. Let's stand again together, shall we? Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Let's partake together." Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great sacrifice for us, that we are adopted children, joint heirs with you. We are seated in the heavenlies even now. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I'd like to read Psalm 63 again to us while we're still seated, reminding us of God's work in our lives and how we can engage Him. "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. I'll be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I will remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouth of liars will be silenced. Please stand at this point and receive the benediction. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen and amen. Please be seated. Turn in your bulletins to just a few brief announcements this morning. Just want to remind you that we have coffee time after the service, just off to my left, your right. Want to encourage you to come and join in fellowship at our coffee time. Also, our Sunday school classes will be continuing. We want to encourage you in way of our Sunday school classes and a sign-up that we have for a couples class, a marriage class. It's not how to be married, but it's a tune-up, a marriage tune-up, and you can see that down at the bottom, number 14. There's this course that is going to be offered at the last Sunday of the month for the next couple of successive Sundays. So if you would like to partake of that, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer, and we ask you to sign up because there is a workbook that needs to be purchased, and it's $7.99 U.S., and so I'm not sure what that works out to in Canadian dollars, but you're more than welcome to sign up for that and join us in this marriage enrichment class that we're going to have for the next couple of successive Sundays. And I think that's fitting given that it's Valentine's Day today. Also, you'll see here that our men's group is going to be meeting to make a hike around Sasamat. We're going to be meeting here at the church at the last Saturday of the month. So please, men, if you're interested in that and would like to join us, just sign up again in the foyer so we can get a number of people that are going to be going with us. Also, you'll note that our annual meeting is coming up. And if you have any questions and would like to join a town hall meeting, there is also a sign up outside in the foyer. So please do take a look at the table just in front of the office door there and sign those many places that you need to sign in way of letting us or acknowledging that you're wanting to attend. Lastly, in way of membership, if you're a member here at Westwood, we're encouraging you to look forward to attending the general meeting. And there's a name list of those that are members in the foyer again on the bulletin board. Please check your names off there, identifying that indeed you are going to be present or are a member here at Westwood and your name is correct. So thank you for doing all that, and may God bless you as you go into your week. Let's stand together. And if you're Chinese, this is not something new to you. Xin Yan Kuai Le, can you say that with me? Xin Yan Kuai Le. Okay, if you're Cantonese, of course, it's Sun Nian Fai Lo. Okay, if you're English, it's Happy New Year. Let's turn to somebody and wish them Happy New Year, or in Chinese, Xin Yan Kuai Le, or Sun Nian Fai Lo. And God bless you. Have a great week as you go into your week. and even wish people happy Valentine's Day, because it is Valentine's Day today. Happy Valentine's Day.